We're digging now. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. And tonight, the Ghana Cocoa Board says it is alarmed over the impact of smuggling on cocoa production in the country after it lost over 120,000 metric tons of cocoa to the menace in the last 2 years alone. Despite the producer price of cocoa witnessing a 531% increase in the last 7 years, there have been a surge in cocoa smuggling to neighboring countries. While taking his turn at the Meet the Press series in Accra, CEO of Cocoa Board, Joseph Boahengedu, attributed the trend to the trading dynamics on the international market.
It is something that is adversely affecting our production as a nation. In fact, if we go by existing statistics, smuggling is taking almost about 100 to 120,000 metric tons of cocoa out of Ghana, especially in the last 2 years. Now, for last year and this year in particular, this had been so. And then now I'm coming to your question. This had been so because the international market trading system is inverted. When you say it's inverted, it means that today the spot price had become more appreciable or better than the forward. Or what you call the futures. And for us, Ghana, before the price shot up, before the spike actually started last year somewhere around April. That's April 2023. Before then, the price of cocoa at the terminal market, at the world market, was around $2,200 per ton. And then suddenly, there was this spike. From that figure, it crossed 3,000, went above 6,000. And by February this year, price of cocoa had gone above $12,000.
That's CEO of Cocoa Board, Joseph Boahengedu, at the Meet the Press series earlier today. My colleague on the research desk and data analyst, Isaac Ofieje, joins me in studio. Kofi, let's start with the total being smuggled out of the country between 2022 and now.
Well, MFA, Cocoa Board has not been consistent with the smuggled cocoa beans figures or statistics. What we know is that the CEO today said available data shows Ghana lost between 100,000 to 120,000 tons to smuggling in the last two seasons. However, Charles Amenyoglo, who leads the board's anti-smuggling task force, quoted a higher figure of 160 metric tons for the just ended season when he spoke to Bloomberg just last month. Mm-hmm. Also, we know that Cocoa Board in their December 2023 newsletter quoted 216,000 metric tons for the last two seasons and stated that the figure was equivalent to a loss of $754.3 million. Now, if we decide to go with the CEO's figures with an average international price of $8,000 per ton, it means Ghana lost an estimated $960 million to smuggling last year. Mm. Now, if I add in the last two seasons, estimated loss of $754 million brings the total loss to some $1.7 billion. Or if we decide to use a higher figure of 160,000 metric tons, then we are talking about close to $2 billion in just two seasons.
Well, the concern remains as to why exactly our neighboring countries, Ivory Coast and Togo, remain that point where smuggler, or the destination point for the smuggled cocoa beans from Ghana, because there's been an increase in the producer price. What exactly is accounting for this?
Well, for the answer is very simple. You know, cocoa fetches more in Ivory Coast and Togo than in Ghana because of a more stable CFA franc or the currency. and less regulated system. So they have a currency that's a bit stable than ours, and their system is not that as rigid in terms of the regulation like we have here in Ghana, IMFA.
Well, that's interesting. But how much of these smuggled cocoa beans do we know that Cocoa Board's task force is able to intercept in this period under review?
So we are talking about a loss of 160,000 tons. Now, this is how much they were able to recover or intercept. Now, according to the same, the board's anti-smuggling task force lead, he says that they were able to intercept about 250 tons last year. And this is up from the 17 tons in the 2020-2030 season. Now, just compare is we lost 160,000 tons, and the amount we're able to just intercept was 250 tons. That's huge difference. The difference is really vast.
Interesting. And Kofi, thank you so much for giving us updates and details of this particular situation. Let me bring in these two gentlemen, at least Charles Amenyaglo. You mentioned him in that interview to Bloomberg.
And that's the Reuters,
director,
yeah.
Reuters. So that's the director of special services for Cocoa Board. And I also have on the line Nano Boadie Boatingbone, who is president, Concerned Farmers Association. Grateful for your time, gentlemen, here on Newsnight. Let me start with you, Charles Amenyaglo. There are concerns, at least we've heard about the stable CFA franc and then also the less regulated system, which is why it's so attractive for most of these farmers or the cartel to smuggle Ghana's cocoa beans to Ivory Coast and to Togo in particular. Is there really anything that can be done about this situation, considering that we've lost $2 million of monies when it comes to smuggling of cocoa to our neighboring countries?
Good evening. Good evening to your listeners. Yeah, there's something more we can do. That is, first and foremost, we need to sensitize the citizenry that cocoa being the mainstay of Ghana's economy is regulated, and is regulated by law. And by law, it is only Ghana Cocoa Board that can purchase cocoa through its licensed cocoa buying companies. But what we have noticed now is that everybody has jumped to the free and is buying cocoa, which is against our laws. And so in the first place, when we do a lot of sensitization, they will realize the criminality in whatever they are doing, and that will bring down the smuggling menace. Otherwise, we are mounting a very strict control over the movement of cocoa. That is where we have the national security collaborating with us and other security agencies to prevent cocoa from living even within the inner part of the country through to our neighboring countries. So we are doing a lot of anti-smuggling operations just to bring it down in the first place.
And has it come down, you say?
Come again.
And has it come down?
We are doing our best. We are doing our best. Because when you look at the interceptions from last year, as at the end of October, we intercepted about 400 bags of cocoa. This year, we are just about 2 weeks into October. And we have intercepted about 3,404 bags. That's 212 tons of cocoa.
But so that's woefully inadequate, Mr. Amenyaglo, because considering the tons that people are smuggling out of this country, and Cocoa Board and its task force are only able to intercept 300 bags, 400 bags, that's woefully inadequate.
No, that is not inadequate. Because in the first place, internally, we are buying the cocoa. The largest cocoa buying companies are buying the cocoa. Those who are finding means of taking the cocoa away, we have intercepted so far 212 tons. That is significant. When you look at it, 400 back last year by this time, because we opened the season in September. We are now in October. So the season has a long way to go from now up to September next year. So it is quite significant. We are doing quite well, because wherever the smugglers are passing, our men are doing a lot. Up to Boku, up to Tatali, up to Zwarungu, up to Techiman, up to Sophie. And as for Volta part of it, I mean that of Sogakope, Zwapong area, we have virtually sealed those areas.
Okay, but this
so
all this
quite significantly.
Okay, Ms. Aminia Global, all this boils down to the issue about the Laja. Are we considering reviewing the producer price index to actually also dissuade farmers, apart from the task force also doing its work?
Oh, that is, I think management is still looking at the scenarios and where appropriate, I believe the necessary intervention will be put in place.
But are you overwhelmed, you say, or is a situation you have under control?
I would say it is under control, even though the surge is high. The surge is high. Significantly, you see virtually every day or every other day, the interceptions here and there. And because of the way we have implanted ourselves, taking them in large volumes have reduced. So they prefer putting maybe a carton that is about half a bag, or Ghana must go back and consider in public transport. Yes. If we have been overwhelmed, then that is where you see huge ones in large quantities being displayed outwardly for people to see that they are passing.
Okay. Ms. Amanyanglo, we are grateful for your time. That's the Director of Special Services at Cocoa Board. Nana Obuadie Boatingbons is also on the other line. He's President, Concerned Farmers Association. Really, government is doing all that it can. We've seen a review of the producer price index up to over 500%. And it looks like you still have appetite for smuggling cocoa to neighboring countries. What exactly is happening?
Well, thank you very much. You do not bring the... I'm the farmer general of the farmers across the whole country. The whole system is, I heard your colleague talking about cartels, and then also other person also speak on the cartels, and then who are the cartels are doing all these kind of things that has been happening. We, the concerned farmers, are doing a program that we call it identification of community challenges on the cocoa growing areas, making sure that cocoa smuggling that is being moving out of the country will stay, so that at the end of the day, the government or the state will be having enough money to take care of a lot of things in the country. And then also educating the farmers about the dangers on this smuggling that others are also doing. But the problem is, it is not the farmers that they are smuggling the cocoa. It is the cartel that they are smuggling the cocoa. Your colleague made mention of Ivory Coast, their currency is higher than we in Ghana, Togo the same as it is. And then that is what others, the cartels, are also doing. When you get close to the farmers, they tell them. So what Cocoa Board have to do is have to be sure that those that they've been given their license to have to be scrutinized. Because at the end of the day, it is surprising that with all these bodies around us, and then huge amounts of cocoa will just pass through and then go. Where does it go? Is it a drone that they use it to move it away, or they use it to pass through the body? Cocoa Board, they are trying their best to make sure that all these things were put in place. But at the end of the day, the solution is we, the concerned farmers, can seal all this smuggling that has been happening. Because the engagement so far that we've done from Western North, Asante region, eastern part of the country, and then the Volta side, and then Western region, at least we are getting response, and then some of the farmers are in line with us. But what is trigger some of the farmers is about the pricing.
Okay.
So we are also telling them that at the end of the day, the government is making sure that he is trying his best in a way just to make sure that the pricing will be going up for them. That is the education that we are giving to the farmers on the ground, so that at the end of the day, they will not also be a victim for that. But at the end of the day, to make things clear, Ghanaian cocoa farmers, to our identification and then the challenges that we have been going through our investigation, no farmer is smuggling the cocoa. It is the cartels that they are buying the cocoa from the farmers. Because if the cocoa is 3,007 Ghana cedi, and somebody is giving you 3,200 Ghana cedi, I think you give it up. And that is what has been happening. and others are giving money to the farmers, and then they are buying from the farmers because some of the farmers are angry enough, they want to sell their cocoa. Others are even giving their cocoa land for the galamsey. Recently, even today, the meeting that we had, somebody just wake up and said, listen, I'm no more going to do the cocoa again. I want to do rubber plantation. So I've already given my 40 acres of cocoa plantation for the rubber plantation.
Interesting. And Obwadie, we'll have to leave it here. We are grateful for your time. And Obwadie Boating Bones, who is president, Concerned Farmers Association. You also heard earlier Charles Amenyaglo, director of special services at Cocoa Board. We've been hearing more from the Ghana Cocoa Board CEO at today's Meet the Press series. But tonight, after 48 hours, the Ghana Police Service has provided updates on the gory accident that happened at East Legon here in Accra that has got many of you talking. The police says it has commenced investigations into that gruesome incident over the weekend, which was allegedly caused by the speeding of a vehicle by a minor that led to the charring of two individuals in the process. The Ghana National Fire Service, who are at the scene of the incident to douse the fire, provided some updates plus their preliminary findings, which we shall come to shortly. My colleague Kenneth Jesse has been all over this particular case for us, joins me in studio. But first, let's look at the police statement that they put out earlier today, a while ago, after 48 hours. What does it say?
Right. It says the Ghana Police Service has commenced investigation into an accident that occurred on Saturday, the 12th of October 2024 at East Legon in Accra, leading to the death of two persons. Preliminary police investigation indicates that the suspect driver, identified as Salif Wamwakon, rammed his vehicle into another vehicle on Jani Ashi Street at East Legon. Both vehicles caught fire and burnt beyond recognition. Now, the suspect driver and other surviving victims are currently receiving medical attention. Meanwhile, one of the surviving victims has since been treated and discharged, while the bodies of the deceased victims have been deposited at the morgue for preservation and autopsy. So this is what the police report that was released a while ago says.
Well, but you have been to the scene. First, let's hear your interaction with some residents.
I was doing my normal cleaning. Cleaning the glasses. So all of a sudden, I was at the top, and the white car, which is the Jaguar, they went for a part. And as boys, I don't know whether they were boosted. So the Jaguar car, which caused the accident, was on high speed. And I learned they were arguing the car. The other guy was telling the guy to, slow down small. As he realized, he was almost inside the T-junction. And you can even see the brake tie there. So he tried to, step down the brake, but he failed and hit the black car. I don't know whether it's a Toyota car or not. So he hit the Toyota car, and the light pole, which is there, got broken, and the lights start, it sparked. And where the engine was to, the fuel combustion and this thing started, to catch fire. So we tried to rescue them. I used the fire extinguisher and stuff, but we couldn't make it. So we rescued a small girl, and the driver, the black driver and the white, three boys got out from the car, and the black one, which is the driver.
I want to speak to another one who was also live on scene, but he said he witnessed the aftermath after he heard noise from the crash. Tell us more. What was going through your mind, first of all, when you heard that noise?
It's horrible. We all thought maybe it's a glass that has broken. We realized that the time we came out, we thought that it was an accident. And terrible. The thing happened. All of a sudden, they catch fire. So we were trying to help, but it takes only a brief person to go in to help.
There are rumors that the one that hit the car was drunk. Do you have any indication of whether it was true?
No, I can't say that because the thing happened before we all came out. So I can't say that. I don't have that fact. What we know is it's over speeding. Now that we all bear witness, the footage and other things bear witness, yeah. You see, lucky enough, there was a water supply, those with the polytanks. They helped before the fire service people came in. If not, that the whole thing would burn to us before the fire service would come in.
We'll get to hear from a member of the Public Relations Department of the Ghana National Fire Service. But Ken, you've been to the scene. I've had your interaction with some residents there. What does the scene look like 48 hours after the incident?
Well, it looks clear 48 hours after the incident, but you can actually see the marks it has left. Mm. there's a building to the left of the road, and then directly opposite is a boutique. So that is the building where that car rammed into, and you can see that the car perforated into that building, which caught fire eventually. And then what happened was that there was an electric pole that fell onto the vehicle. So that electric pole got destroyed. So when we got to the scene, the electric pole was being replaced by the staff from the electricity company, who tell us that that caused some power destruction. So that building, the building that has been destroyed, you can see there's a washroom there. There are people there, but they do not want to speak to us because they explain to us that they are a bit traumatized there. But aside that, though, people are going about their normal duties. But that is a very busy intersection. Anybody who knows that, that is a very busy intersection where a lot of cars, a lot of school buses, in fact, we saw a lot of school buses also passing there. And then when we were there, we saw a group of very young boys who came by, and a colleague told me that that is the friend of, those are the friends of the guy who rammed into that vehicle. So normal activities are ongoing, but obviously you can see the marks of that horrible incident that happened during the weekend that has left over there. You could also see the debris that accident has caused over there. So although it's been 48 hours since the incident happened, but if you get there, you get saddened by just looking at what has happened there.
Well, Ken, let's listen to Alex Kinate earlier on The Pulse.
Right.
We realized that the two people, they were bent beyond recognition. You could see their skin melting onto their seats. It was unfortunate. My heart goes out to the family. We are still investigating, but per our initial assessment, anything could have caused the fire. So there were four people in the Acura, and there were three people in the Jaguar. So the Jaguar, there were two minors, I would say, two 16-year-old boys and one 11-year-old girl in the Jaguar, and then they had the four occupants in the vehicle. The good news is that from reports I've received, the driver and then the 11-year-old girl who was rescued from the scene have been treated and discharged from the hospital.
So that's Alex Kinate there interacting with my colleague Elton Brobe on The Pulse a while ago. He joins us on the line. He's a member of the Public Relations Department of the Ghana National Fire Service. Alex Kinate, we are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. So what's the update? What do we know? You earlier mentioned that one person had been discharged from the hospital. Tell us about the rest. How many other survivors are in the hospital?
Okay, so thank you very much for having me. So in all, we had seven people affected in the fire or the accident. We have three who were minors in the Jaguar. Two of them were 16-year-old, and then one 11-year-old female. The Acura had four people in the vehicle. And so the driver, fortunately, the driver and one 11-year-old lady from the Acura have been treated and discharged, thankfully. And so the people left are the three minors who were in the Jaguar. My sources tell me they are undergoing surgery, and I'm sure by now they are done with the surgery, and we are hoping that they should be able to make a quick recovery.
So what you're saying is the driver of the Jaguar and the other occupant of that vehicle all survived the accident?
They all survived the accident and are currently receiving treatment. Some of them, I don't know if all of them are undergoing surgery. I'm sure by now the surgery should be done and they should be able to make a quick recovery.
But this driver, there's been a lot of talk about that driver of the Jaguar being a minor. We are told it's a 16-year-old. The police has put out his name. We are told it is Salifu Amwakun. There's no age put to it in the police statement. What do we know, at least from your preliminary investigations?
So our preliminary investigations truly confirmed that, yes, he's a minor, because there are two males who are both 16 years old and then one female who was 11 years old. So, yes, it means that he's a minor, a 16-year-old boy.
And the occupants of the Acura that you talk about, that at least two have been discharged and the others, at least we saw the charring of their bodies in the live feed amongst others. Have we been able, what exactly is the extent of communication between the Ghana National Fire Service and the family involved in this particular incident?
Okay, so today our officers from Medina, they were the team that responded to the accident. They paid the operations officer and the commander for the station, paid a visit to the hospital. Unfortunately, they couldn't get access to them. Both the family of the children of Salifu Amwaku and then the occupants of the Curia, we couldn't get access to them because they were all receiving medical treatment. So we are giving them time, and then we'll definitely do our follow-ups to be able to get a conclusive and solid investigation at the end of the day.
So it's established that these children are that of the pastor that we know, Elisha Salifu Amwaku.
Yes. Okay, so when our team got there, they had been rescued, so I didn't see them. So it was initial reports, and then based on follow-ups that we did, that confirms that that's the son of Salifu Amwaku.
And what's been the reaction of the father or the parents of Salifu Amwaku so far?
We haven't really been able to get close to them, because after we were more concerned with trying to get, because you can imagine how even distressing it is for officers to see charred body, and the fact that the bodies had melted onto the seats, and you know, getting them off, you know, you risk, you know, tearing their skin apart. That's how horrific it was. So we were concentrated on making sure that these people were safe, and then making sure that the other people that survived. So we haven't really been able to get enough from the family of Salifu Amwaku, because when our officers visited the hospital, they were met with some resistance of a sort by their legal counsel. And so we are hoping that once the surgery is done, we should be having some cooperation from the legal counsel, from their counsel, so that we'll be able to make headway.
What's the resistance that you talk about? Why was there resistance from the legal counsel of Salifu Amwaku's side?
So I think it's because they were now undergoing surgery. So I think they had wanted to, obviously they didn't want, he's a minor, so he can't engage any investigative body without the presence of a lawyer or the presence of an adult. So, and the fact that he was going into surgery, so I think that's where they were trying to make sure that after the surgery, then we'll be able to have him in the presence of his counsel. So I won't say resistance of a sort, but I would say that we couldn't get to see him due to the circumstances at hand.
But I'm wondering, what's the level of collaboration between the Ghana National Fire Service and the Ghana Police Service? Because I'm seeing a very tear statement from the Ghana Police Service without details. At least you've been able to tell us the number of persons involved, the number of survivors amongst others. But that statement does not give us so much.
Okay, so so this is also to correct perceptions of Ghanaians that when there's an accident and human lives are involved, either dead or alive, that needs to be retrieved. It falls within the purview of the Ghana National Fire Service. Mm. So the police, as our colleagues, are just there to maintain law and order, and then we hand over the dead bodies to them. So the initial grounds was our grounds as the fire service to retrieve them and hand them over to the police. So I guess they are also doing their own investigation, and they also have their own modus operandi. But with that, based on our initial assessment as the first responders to the scene, that is why we are being able to give out this information. I'm sure they are also conducting their interviews, because they would have to look at different angles in their investigation. They'll look at the criminal aspect of it. They look at the road traffic accident.
We get all that, but Mr. Kinate, it sounds as though we are having two key institutions running a parallel investigations on the same incident.
Oh no, on that day...
Are you collaborating to start with?
We are collaborating to an extent, because on that day when it happened, we had the commander for the... We had the police commander there. We had the police there. We had a very nice, you know, healthy conversation at the scene. And we even had one of the police officers help us, you know, carry one of the bodies. So we're having that collaboration, and then... And so it's one of the things that we are working on. And at the district levels, we are working on it. So we obviously can't come out with all the findings that we come you know, how we're working together. But truly, we have a very good working relationship with the Ghana National Police Service.
We are grateful. That's Alex Kinate. He's a member of the Public Relations Department of the Ghana National Fire Service, giving us updates on the that East Legon incident. And we know there was also an accident on the Accra-Kumasi Highway over the weekend that has led to the loss of 12 lives. One too many on our roads just this weekend. Let's do business. George, what do we have?
Well, MFA coming up, World Bank projects a 4% growth rate for Ghana, far higher than what the government estimated for this year. And also, government has abandoned plans to embark on cocoa syndication loan to support the sector and cocoa purchases. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Synthes Tags, and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga. And manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Chuboy! Yeah. We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm on for me don't want to see the brain. When you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth. More charcoal. Not only that, maybe mama lemon. More lemon. Zinc for fresher breath. More zinc. And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Yeah. Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
Are you ready to turn your dreams into reality? Don't just dream it, own it with a loan from Fidelity Bank. Dreaming of a new home? Own it with Fidelity Mortgage Loan. Dreaming of smelling the scent of a brand new tear rubber car? Own it with Fidelity Auto Loan. Dreaming of getting the latest phone, TV, fridge, furniture, laptop or gaming console? Own it with Fidelity Consumer Asset Finance. Dreaming of expanding your business? Make it a reality with our business loan. Fidelity Bank is offering flexible loans to businesses, salaried workers and the self-employed at a competitive rate. Dial 0800 003355 or visit any of our branches nationwide today to turn your dream into reality with a Fidelity Bank loan. Terms and conditions apply. Fidelity Bank. Believe with us.
Fidelity. If I believe with us. Fidelity. If I know I lay aside. Fidelity.
Imagine having access to top-notch educational resources, no matter your grade of school or location in Ghana. With the Ghana Knowledge and Skills Bank, you can tap into a vast library of resources, even in offline mode. From primary all the way to tertiary education, we've got you covered. As a student, you have access to past questions from 1990 to date for BEC, WASI, and tertiary test examinations. As a teacher or lecturer, you can hold virtual classes for your students and share your lecture notes for their use. As an educator or researcher, you can publish your books or articles for public consumption. And lastly, you have your own studies teacher or AI tutor who is trained to teach you in any subject topic till you fully understand. So whether you're a student, educator, content creator, researcher, or entrepreneur, the Ghana Knowledge and Skills Bank was made just for you. Sign up today at www.gksb.gov.gh. The Ghana Knowledge and Skills Bank, where learning has no limits and the possibilities are endless. This project was financed by the World Bank under the erstwhile e-Transform project at the Ministry of Communications and Digitalization.
The luckiest
star 712
luck is everywhere for everyone.
and now for four. A dialing *712# hash and found no regrets. A side comma investors are a striking gold. A comma health workers are a diagnosing lack with precision. A side comma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. Say say a comma passionate farmer on also entering containing a joy. A fake to the seamstresser or turning a hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a comma if you say your next big win is right here.
Dial *712# and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial *712# to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the World Bank is projecting that economic growth will pick up strongly by the end of this year. The bank, in its latest report on economies around the world, is forecasting that Ghana would end the year with a rate of 4%. There is more in this report.
The World Bank, in its Africa Pulse report, noted that the revised forecast is based on the sudden pickup in economic activities for the last two quarters of this year and the impact of the IMF program on the expected recovery. The World Bank earlier this year did project that Ghana will end 2024 with a growth rate of 3.1%. However, it appears that due to current developments in the economy, it now thinks that Ghana may do better than earlier projected. The World Bank is the second development partner to indicate that the country would do better than what it had projected earlier this year. The IMF has also disclosed that it will revise its growth rate numbers for this year from the current 2.8%. It is not clear for now how this development could impact on investor confidence, especially at a time that the country has witnessed an upgrade with its credit ratings by Moody's, Fitch and Standard & Poor's.
And that is a Business Desk report. Now, government has revealed that it has abandoned plans to embark on cocoa syndication loan to support the sector and finance bean purchases. This is coming after the Ministry of Finance had earlier revealed that the plan is still on the table. But speaking to Joy Business, Agric Minister Dr. Brian Echampo noted that the current developments in the economy means that they have to shelve this for now.
If you don't need the money and pay all the interest. If we had gone on syndication, it's the interest rate on the world international market where you borrow, so far it's at 5.75, plus margin of 2-3%. You will pay an interest of about 8% on $1 billion. That alone is 80 million cedis. At least that is how much money we have saved from going on the international market to borrow $1 billion. Now, if you want to buy a cocoa, bring money, fund an LBC, let the LBC go and buy it, and then we sell back to finally.
Agric Minister Dr. Brian Echampon. Now, rating agencies Moody's and Fitch have all outlined conditions that will force it to move Ghana to an improved position. This was after it revealed Ghana's position when it comes to its ability to settle its debts on time. There is more in this report.
Despite Ghana's credit ratings being reviewed, the country is still in that category, which can be classified as risky or call it a junk status. That is why the decision by these two firms to review Ghana's position going forward has been described as good news for the economy. Moody's, for instance, argued that they are likely to upgrade Ghana if government continues to deliver on fiscal consolidation, maintaining a primary surplus, and securing improved funding access, ultimately reducing liquidity risk. Fitch also maintained that once Ghana finalizes the terms for restructuring all its external debt, that will be a positive development for reviewing the country's ratings going forward.
And that is a Business Desk report. Now, the Ghana Unity Association is asking the Energy Commission to be heavier on its public sensitization program to educate consumers on energy-related issues. The Joseph Obeng says that this would help promote awareness and demand for renewable energy sources. He was speaking at the launch of the 2024 Ghana Power and Energy Expo.
We should also educate the final consumer on the new trends of what is required of us. Because how is the final consumer going to know that this product consumes less energy? I think this is the way to go. That's what Energy Commission is working very hard on. But I think the consumer education is lacking. And that's why I will need Energy Commission in the next meeting.
Dr. Joseph Obeng is the president of the Ghana Union of Traders Association. Let's turn our attention to the stock market. And if you were a shareholder of GAL, today it was up by peso to close at 1 Ghana Cedi 51 pesos. Total was also up by 5 pesos and it's now worth 12 Ghana Cedis 66 pesos. And that's all for Business on Newsnight. Back to you, MFA.
Thank you, George. Let's do sports. Hey, Ms. Bao.
Hello, MFA. Let me bring you some update from that incident involving Nigerian men's national team and Libyan authorities. Remember that earlier in the day, it was reported that Nigerian men's national team were left unattended to for some 13 hours in a Libyan airport that was ahead of the AFCON qualifying game against Libya, which was slated for tomorrow. Now, the Nigerian men's national team subsequently boycotted the game and have since flown back to Nigeria. Now, CAF has released a statement following this development, and I'm going to read excerpts of it for you. They say that they view the disturbing and unacceptable experiences of the Nigerian football team at an airport in Libya in a very serious light. The Confederation of African Football has been in contact with the Libyan and Nigerian authorities after he had been informed that the Nigerian football team and their technical team were stranded in disturbing conditions for several hours. They say that the matter has been referred to the CAF Disciplinary Board for investigation and appropriate action will be taken against those who violated the CAF statutes and regulations. Now, we understand the team has arrived in Nigeria and the team's captain, Truste Kon, has been speaking.
Just got back to Nigeria with the team. I just want to say a big thank you to all the support that we've been getting. Out of energy. It's been a long 24 hours. We've tried to do our best to keep our spirits high. This will be the last thing I'm going to say about it. Football is all about respect, and that starts by respecting ourselves. We took a stand. I'm proud of the team's decision. And we'll be waiting to see what will be the follow-up from here, whatever the consequences are. We'll be ready to continue our journey to AFCON 2025 in November.
The Nigerian men's national team captain, Truste Kon, following the arrival in Nigeria. Well, let's stay in Libya because that's where the Black Stars are also based ahead of their game against Sudan tomorrow. And, they are in a must-win game considering their standings in Group F, where they've got just 2 points and behind second place Sudan, and 7 points adrift leaders Angola, who are on 9 points. The match against Sudan could be the defining point in Ghana's qualifying campaign for next year's tournament as they aim to secure victory after a goalless draw in Accra last Thursday. Well, Ghana coach Otuado says there's still hope.
Surely we will try to train finishing and give them confidence. That's all. This was the only thing which was missing. The spirit was good. The passion was there. The defensive discipline was there. It's just about to finish the actions. That's all. You know, that's all. And Sudan was very lucky today. And next time we see them in Libya, they won't be lucky. Then we will stay positive. And we will beat them away. With the same performance, the same passion, the same creativity up front, we will beat them away.
Yeah, that's Otuado, MFA. Sudan were lucky on Thursday, according to Otuado. And tomorrow, he said, we'll beat them. We'll beat them. Yes.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, we'll beat them. All right, MFA, that's it for sports.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bowen.
Just to mention, we're just about 12 days away from Joy Sports Invitational Tournament. So,
I told you I'm near 100 meters.
Yeah, man. We've now got swimming in it. You know, we need swimmers and multimedia. And here the boys are registering for football. Right now we need swimmers. So
Papa need to do that for us.
All right. And National Insurance Commission have registered.
Oh, wow.
I was with them earlier today. And, of course, we'll be hearing from them on Prime later tonight.
I'll be
tonight.
Watching you. All right. On that. Thank you so much, Ms. Bao. Now, let's do our Street of Despair. And at just 22, she was forced into prostitution to survive. Mafia quit hawking Sashewater after a speeding car knocked her down, breaking her leg in the process. She's now compelled to accept offers as low as 25 cedis each night as charges. In the Joy News feature, Street of Despair, Emmanuel Jivenu shares the stories of young girls in prostitution at the Kwame Nkrumah Circle here in Accra.
I joined my friends in prostitution. Now, prostitution is what I do.
At just 22 years old, Mafia's life took a turn she never imagined. With no one to lean on, the streets became her home, and survival meant taking whatever work she could find, even if that meant selling her body.
Been into prostitution for 2 years now. I make between 100 cedis and 200 cedis.
Each night, she's met with demeaning offers disguised as opportunities. 25 Ghana cedis, 30 Ghana cedis, and at times, a mere 5 Ghana cedis, an amount that wouldn't cover a single meal for most. But for Mafia, these are the rates she's forced to take.
Some men come offering 5 cedis. They insult you when you reject it. From the 30 Ghana cedis I make per client, 5 cedis covers the cost of the room.
Every day, Mafia follows the same routine. She wishes she could escape, but there is no way out.
By 6 p.m., I get ready to go to work. On a slow day, I return by midnight to sleep. However, on a good day, I can work until daybreak. I've invested all the love I have into this job.
Despite her situation, Mafia holds onto a dream of a different life. One where survival doesn't mean offering her pride for cash.
I really want to quit, but I need the money to rent and get myself established.
That's the harsh reality on the streets. That's our Street of Despair, put together by my colleague Emmanuel Jivenu. By way of updates, the Electoral Commission is announcing for the information of the general public that registered voters and all stakeholders re-exhibition of the provisional voters register will commence on Tuesday, 15th October, and end on Saturday, 19th October 2024. You recall that during the special IPAC meeting on 1st October, the Commission assured the public that the revised PVR will be re-exhibited online for registered voters to check their details and report any discrepancies to the commission. So it's starting online, and the short code is *711*51#, and it is free of charge. And we're looking forward to that IPAC meeting tomorrow. And Ghana is no longer fit to be co-chair of the Forest and Climate Leaders Partnership, a key organization in campaigning the protection of forests. This strong push is from Marocha Ghana, and is to see Ghana removed from their position because it is convinced the president representing Ghana on the organization isn't promoting the ideals of the organization. Among others, the concern, it accuses President Akufo-Addo of seeing to the passage of LI 2462. And we know also that the president is making moves to repeal that when parliament resumes tomorrow. And we know that it allows mining and forest reserve, which is destroying the forest. So these are the concerns by Arocha. We head out with National Signs and Mass Quiz. The action began today in the central region, and my colleagues are on the team led by my colleague Jacqueline and Sumaye Boa, and we are told that the site ladies are doing some magic. But let's talk about what else has been happening on the ground. Jackie, take us away.
Yes, Minister. So today we had several contests. We had roughly about 9 contests so far. Let me run you through the first contest for the day, which was at Auditorium 900. In Fantaman Girls, they proceeded to the next stage. And also the second contest at Auditorium 900, Chito Senior High School, proceeded to the next stage. They were in that same category with Notre Dame and Methodist Girls SHS, but unfortunately they couldn't make it. And the last contest was between Tepa Senior High to Bright Senior High School, Secondary College, and Tepa Senior High School. You know, Bright Senior High School is a first timer. But then, interestingly, we also have Archbishop Porter Girls also proceeding to the next stage. And we have Adawomase, which is a new baby, a new school, which is part of the new government schools for this year. They've also proceeded to the next stage of the competition. And we have Hope College also proceeding, and Borga Methodist Senior High School, and Queen of Peace proceeding to the next stage. But tomorrow, there's going to be several contests. There's a likelihood that the contest being held tomorrow would be held in 4 groups. If you remember, Nanekia Mensah-Bonsu, the managing director for Prime Time, has been saying that this year they had a lot of numbers as compared to previous years in terms of the school contesting.
Okay. Well, that's a packed contest for today and tomorrow, and we look forward to all the updates. I'm sure the site ladies are happy, but let's see how it goes. Thank you very much, Jackie and Sumaya Boa. They're giving us all the details when it comes to National Science and Mask Quiz, produced by Prime Time Limited, sponsored by the Ghana Education Service in partnership with GOL PLC, and supported by Pepsi Jupay and Prudential Life Insurance Ghana. The broadcast of the 2024 National Science and Mask Quiz on Joy News is supported by NASCO, Vitamilk, Virtual Security Africa, Ace Medical Insurance, Built Financial Technologies, TBS Roofing, Syntex Tanks, Family Health Medical School, Chobox Technologies and Action Secondary Technical, Multimedia Institute of Ghana, DPS Pipes and Wakanao. That's my opinion with Nanan Sakwal. Is up next. Please do stay. I am MFA Apau. Many thanks for your company. We'll be right back.